بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, last week we discussed a very simple but very important topic, and that is the ayat of the Quran where Allah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does any good, even if it is equivalent to the weight of an atom, so minute, so small, but on the day of Qiyamah, he will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرِّيرَةٍ. And similarly, no matter how minute a bad deed a person does, equivalent to the weight of a small, tiny little atom, that too he will see it on the day of Qiyamah. So I said, our maqsad-e hayat in this life is to do khair, which Allah has mentioned as khair, and to refrain from shar, which Allah has mentioned as shar. This is what insan has to do in his entire life. Do the khair that Allah has commanded us to do, and totally abstain from all the shar that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from abstaining. And this is the thing that will go into the qabr with us, the khair and the shar. And on the day of Qiyamah, this is what's going to be weighed. The khair will be weighed, and the shar will be weighed. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will put the person who did khair into Jannah, the one who has done shar into Jahannam. Allah save us. That is why one hadith, a long hadith, a very lengthy hadith, in the end of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Allah Ta'ala had mentioned the hadith al-Qudsi, that whoever sees khayran on the day of Qiyamah, falyahmadillah, should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the khayr that we are doing, and all the shar we are abstaining from, the tawfiq comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah gives us the opportunity, the strength, the ability. And we have to abstain from every type of evil. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. The moment you commit any wrong deed, then follow that wrong deed by some good deed. Immediately. تَمْحُهَا. It will wipe out that bad deed. A Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and remember, we have mentioned so many incidents like this. Sahaba were human beings. But they remained in the suhbat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They understood the maqsad-e hayat, they fulfilled it. They passed on this deen to us. And wherever they erred, wherever they slipped and made a blunder, immediately they turned to Allah and made sincere tawbah. You'll find so many incidents, a small slip, and the Sahabi would cry for so long, and he would show this nadamat. One particular person happened to go to the marketplace to purchase some dates, and the seller of those dates was a woman, and she was also in hijab. And suddenly this person became overwhelmed, and he kissed this woman, and he realized his mistake. He comes running to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what I've done. The various narrations have been mentioned, but the gist of the narration, the story is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first remained silent, and the person had gone to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. They both said, you have done a very serious thing. And when he came to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first Rasulullah remained silent until wahi came down. The verse mentioned, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيَّاتِ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيَّاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says, establish salah, the two ends of the day, part of the night. In other words, all the five salat is covered in this verse. This is hasanat, this is the khair. The moment you do this, it will wipe out all the evil. So by you performing salah,
the sin that you have done, then it will wipe out that sin. The Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ali Hada, it's only for me the special favor that Allah has given me, that if I do this, then all my sins are forgiven. Nabi Kareem said, no, it is for my entire ummah. Nonetheless, again, khair and shar. We have to do those things which is khair and refrain from those things which are shar. I mentioned quite a few examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in last week. And of course, for those who are not here, yes, the khulasa, the gist of that, we explained how the Sahaba were haris, desirous of doing that khair. And if there's any shar that was mentioned to them, immediately they would abstain from it. So any khair they could do and bring into their life, immediately they seized that opportunity and they brought it in their life. And therefore they would ask Rasulullah SAW questions like this, Ayyul a'mali ahabbu ilallah. Ya Rasulullah, which of the actions is most dear to Allah Ta'ala? Ayyul a'mali afdalu ilallah, indallah. Which action is most virtuous in the sight of Allah? Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin idha amiltuhu dakhaltu jannah. Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, show me such an action that if I do it, I will enter into Jannah. Ya Rasulullah, show me such a thing that will bring me closer to Jannah. وَيُبَاعِدُونِي عَنِ النَّارِ and keep me away from Jahannam. All the time, they were haris, desirous of doing those hasanat and khair which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. So we mentioned Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu incident, a long incident last week we mentioned in detail. The Rasulullah had kept him in charge of the zakat wealth and he had to protect it. And in the night a person comes and he steals from that. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah catches him and he says, I'm going to take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man pleads to him, please, I've got a family, I'm hungry. So he lets him go. The next morning Rasulullah says, what did your captive do last night? The man who you caught, what happened to him? So he gives the story, Ya Rasulullah, he came and I seized his hand. I was going to bring him to you, but he pleaded to me. He says, he's hungry, he's got a family, he has to provide for them. So I let him go. Nabi Kareem said, he's a liar and he'll come back. The second night and the third night, exact thing transpired until in the end, the third night, when Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu knew very well he's going to come back, he said, لَأَرْفَعَنَّكَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَلَمْ. This time, I'm not giving you a break. I'm taking you to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he pleads again. He says, okay, tell me, give me a break. I will teach you something that if you read this, you will be protected from shaitan. He said, what is it? Now look at the hirs of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Nabi Kareem said, this man who's coming to you is a liar. But now he's going to teach me something that's going to be beneficial for me. So he said, what is it? So he recited Ayatul Kursi. You read Ayatul Kursi, Allah will protect you from shaitan. The next morning, Rasul said, what happened? He gives a whole incident. Rasul said, innahu sadaqak. This time he spoke the truth to you. Wahu kadhubun. Whereas his nature is, he is a big liar. But this one, he spoke the truth to you. Abu Hurairah, this last few nights, you were talking to this person. Do you know who you were talking to? He says, Ya Rasul, I do not know. He says, it was shaitan himself. Shurra commentators write that Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, why he gave this person a break? Because he was haris. He was desirous of knowing something that will protect him from shaitan. Then we mentioned the other hadith where Rasulullah had mentioned lil-mamluk, al-abd al-salih, that slave which is pious, lahu ajran, he gets double reward. One for obeying his master and one for obeying Allah. He gets twofold reward. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, had it not been for striving in the path of Allah, had it not been for going for Hajj, and had it not been birru ummi, for looking after my mother, I would have desired to be a slave. Because of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a slave will get double reward. For Hajj, a person has to take permission from his master. For looking after your mother also, the slave has to take permission from the master. To go in the path of Allah, the slave has to ask permission from his master. So he said, because of these three things, I did not desire to be a slave. Otherwise, I would have desired to be a slave. Like this, we did a few other examples also. Amr bin Humam radiallahu ta'ala, he was in the battlefield and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that the jannat is so huge. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. Just the width of Jannat is the distance between the skies and the earth. When this Sahabi heard, just this is the width of Jannat. Imagine the breadth, the length of Jannat. He had a few dates in his hand. فَأَلْقَى تَمَرَاتٍ كُنَّ فِي يَدِهِ. He put those dates down. And he says, now I'm going to the battlefield. Why? He said, if I have to sit and eat these few dates, and how long does it take? I mentioned last week, iftar time when we're opening our roza, we have 2 or 3 khajur, hardly takes 2 or 3 minutes. But he said, if I have to sit and eat these few days, it will be a very long time. And my desire is to meet my Allah quicker. This Jannah that Allah is promising, I cannot delay. And immediately goes into the battlefield, he becomes a shaheed. Like this, there are so many other examples to show the hirs of Sahaba. How desirous they were to gain their akhirat. So I said, Sahaba and us, the difference is, the Sahabi would be haris for the akhirat, not for dunya. We are haris for the dunya and not for the akhirat. And therefore I said, very commonly a person says, even if I get one small place in Jannah, it's alright for me. It's a very serious thing you are saying. One should not say such things. Desire, what Rasulullah has mentioned, Sallallahu al-Firdaus al-A'la. Ask Allah Ta'ala for Jannatul Firdaus, the highest of Jannat. Even though we are weak, but Allah is so great, nothing impossible for Him to grant us Jannatul Firdaus. So I said, the same person, we ask him, will you be happy to have a small shack in this world? Nobody wants a small space in this world. No, in the dunya, you want a nice house, you want a nice mansion, everything comfortable. Why for akhirat? If I just get a small place. Even though the small place is better than the whole world and whatever it contains, no doubt. But ask for the highest. Have haris for the akhirat. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. They were poor sahaba and rich sahaba. The poor sahaba come and complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are reading salat and the rich sahaba also reading salat. We are fasting, they are fasting. But ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ وَالنَّعِيمِ الْمُقِيمِ. They have taken lofty mansions in the akhirat and they are scoring high marks, as we say. And they are getting great blessings. Rasulullah said, why? They said, but they are giving sadaqah and we are poor. We don't have the money to give sadaqah. So this is where they are beating us. Namaz, we are equal. Roza, we are equal. But when it comes to sadaqah, we don't have the means. And they're getting great rewards for giving sadaqah. Nabi Kareem some teaches them simple dua, simple tasbih, which all of us can do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after every farz salat, recite 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Immediately they went and did this. See the hirs for the akhirat. Because they want to beat the friend, the companion, in gaining akhirat. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. After a few days they come back. Ya Rasulullah, another complaint. Our rich brothers heard this tasbih that you told us, and they also reading the same now. Even the rich sahaba, they were haris for the akhirat. Allah gave them in the dunya, but the nigah, the nazar was not the dunya. They too wanted akhirat. So they also started reading this. Then Nabi Kareem said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Well, that is the blessing of Allah, the grace of Allah. He gives who He wishes. He wants to give somebody more wealth of this dunya. That is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu. Again, look at the hirs. This is the point, hirs of the akhirat. The same thing, same tasbih, which you know tasbih of Fatima. There are various narrations have been mentioned. One particular narration, Hayatul Sahaba also mentioned it, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu doing the chores of the house, especially Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu carrying the water going out and the leather strap had caused marks on her body, calluses on her hand, grinding the wheat, etc. It was a difficult life that they were living. Very simple, very simple. But she needed some khadima to help her. She heard Rasulullah SAW receive some slaves. Some wealth has come to him. Let me go to my father, Sayyidina Ali, and prompted her, go and ask. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your beloved father, he'll give us one khadim, one khadima. She goes. Rasulullah said, I cannot give you when my ashabu sufa are hungry. When my companions are hungry, I cannot give you this special concession. I'll teach you something better than this. She went for dunya. Her father is making her tarbiyat, teaching her akhirat. What is it? The same tasbih. 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, after every four salat, and at night when you retire to bed. So immediately she mentioned to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. They made it part and parcel of their life. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was mentioning to the tabi'een after that, somebody questioned him. Oh Ali, even on the night of Siffin, Siffin was a battle that took place, a very lengthy incident, where Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting on one side, and it was a very, very serious occasion in the lives of Sahaba. And that time, all the person's mind and concentration and efforts is now to fight the opposite side and to win the war. Now at that night when you're so busy the entire day, you're fighting, you're going to be very tired and you're going to go to sleep. Many of us, we will travel, and when we come back, that night we forget to do your ma'amulat because you're extremely tired, you're exhausted, and you sleep away. Nonetheless, Sayyidina Ali then says, Wallahi, took a qasam in Allah, even on the night of Siffin, I did not discard this tasbih that Rasulullah SAW taught us. So this was the hirs of the akhirat. Every opportunity. There's another incident. One of the wives of Rasulullah SAW, Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever reads 12 rakats daily, 12 rakats beside the fard, 12 rakats, then that person will get a house built for him in Jannah. Whoever is 12 rakats daily, buni lahu bihinna baytun fil Jannah. So Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, she immediately, she says, from the time I heard this hadith, she mentioned this to her student, Amr bin Aus. He says, حدثني أنبسة بن أبي سفيان. أنبسة بن أبي سفيان was passing away. And whilst he's passing away, he mentioned this hadith to his student. And he said, I heard Ummu Habiba radiallahu ta'ala mentioning, من صلى إثنتي عشرة ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة. And then she says, Ummu Habiba says, فما تركتهن منذ سمعتهن من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. From that time I heard Rasulullah mentioning this hadith, I never discarded this 12 rakats. What are these 12 rakats? Simple. Alhamdulillah, most of us are doing it. The 2 rakats, sunnat of fajr. The 4 rakats, sunnat of dhuhr, before the fard. The 2 after it. So already we got 8 zakats. 2 of Fajr, 4 of Zuhr before, and 2 after. It's 8. Then the 2 rakats of after Maghrib, after the Fard of Maghrib. It's 10. And the 2 rakats after the Fard of Isha. Not to say you don't read the other sunnahs. You read, they're great rewards. But these are the 12 particular mentioned for this hadith. Whoever reads these 12 rakats, buni lahu baytun fil Jannah. So the one who heard this hadith from her, he said, Wallahi, ma taraktuhunna. I also never left discarded. His student also said, Wallahi, ma taraktuhunna. His student also said the same thing. This is when they heard virtue, fazail of some amal. Immediately Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in brought it within their life. They made amal on it. Hirs fil akhirah. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. That was their worry. That was their concern. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, but Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when we discuss the ittiba, sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the sahaba, all of them, followed the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The manner in which he spoke, the manner in which he ate, the manner in which he conducted himself, his dealings, his mu'amalat, mu'asharat. But Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu went a step further. Even on a journey that he was going, after the demise of Rasulullah SAW, he's undertaking a journey of Hajj. And he comes to a certain spot. He's got a whole caravan and people with him. And he comes to a certain place, pretending as though he's want to relieve himself, but of course he didn't relieve himself, he just sat there for a few moments, woke up. People saw that he didn't relieve himself, but why did he sit there? In any case, he carries on. Then he comes under, or he is traveling, and there is no tree, there's no branch. But suddenly he puts his head under, as though he's going under some branch. Then the people asked him, what are you doing? He said, on both these places, when I traveled with my master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first place he relieved himself. Although I don't have that urge to relieve myself, but I'm following every step of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even this way of life, even this also, I'm making amal on this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when we passed here, there was a tree, and there was a branch, and Nabi Kareem had to lower his head to go under this branch. So I am also following this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu sees a dream one day. So immediately, so it was a very strange dream, so he tells Hafsa, his aunt. Hafsa was the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab. Hafsa was his sister. Hafsa was his sister, the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab. So Umar, Abdullah bin Umar tells his sister, I saw this dream, ask Rasulullah for the ta'bir. So she mentioned to Rasulullah the dream, and then Nabi Kareem said, Ni'mar rajul Abdullah. Abdullah is a wonderful person. Everything about him is so good. Law kana yusalli min al-layl. Only thing missing, he should be reading tahajjud at night. Everything is perfect about him. If only he just adds this one more thing, tahajjud salat. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu says, I never discarded my tahajjud from that night, or from that day onwards. Always I perform my tahajjud salat. So this is the thing. That the Sahaba heard some virtue, or they were cautioned about something. Immediately, they brought that into their lives, so that they could make amal on that. Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, another very great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had this desire to keep roza every single day of his life. Again, there are so many narrations mentioned, books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, just the gist of all these narrations. Nabi Kareem told him, no, you cannot do that. Nabi Kareem first time keep 3 days roza every month, Ayyamul Bid, 13, 14, 15. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I can do better than this. So Nabi Kareem said, okay, add to it Monday and Thursday fast. He said, I can do even better. Finally, Nabi Kareem said, okay, we keep one day and don't keep the next day. Then keep the next day and don't keep the following day. So every second day you'll be fasting. This is known as Siyamu Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. This is the Afdalu Siyam, the best of rozas any person can keep. Nothing better than this. You cannot do more than this. So, in other words, half your life will be keeping roza. If I've been keeping on Monday, don't keep on Tuesday, keeping on Wednesday, don't keep on Thursday. So half the year I'm keeping roza. Abdullah bin Amr ibn As, Nabi Salman cautioned him, wait, it's possible you'll become old and you won't manage it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to do it. And then he, as he grew old, and he said, Ya laytani qabiltu rukhsata an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, how I wish I accepted this concession of Rasulullah. Although it was fard, it was a nafil. But he took an undertaking upon himself that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing me this amal and I wanted to do something. And he gave me this wazifa or this ma'mool, and now I'm going to bring this into my life. I'm never going to discard it. So when he became very old, it became difficult, obviously. So then what he used to do, for example, if he had to keep roza on Monday, and he didn't have the strength, so he'd not keep on Monday. Tuesday was a break for him. Then Wednesday he kept again. And then Thursday was a break for him. So he would see, he'll gather, or he will record the number of rozas he did not keep, maybe 2 or 3 because of weakness. Then on those days where it was permissible for him not to keep roza, or it was a day of not keeping roza for him, on those days he kept roza when he had the strength. In other words, he kept to this ma'mool of his. Over and above that, it is mentioned 7 paras plus minus 1 manzil every single night in tahajjud. 7 paras in tahajjud. And during the day, he would hamrawa that paras to some of his wives or his family members, so that at night when he's reading tahajjud, he won't make a mistake and he'll be able to read easily and fluently. So this was the hirs of Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. This desire of doing the khair and refraining from shar. Hirs of the akhirat, desire of the akhirat. I must please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ayat was in front of them. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ Bani Salama radiallahu ta'ala. Bani Salama was a group of one family. They were living very far from the masjid. And every day they're coming, walking to the masjid. So they thought, there's a place near the masjid of Nabiya Kareem Sosam. Let us purchase this land and relocate. Nabiya Kareem Sosam heard of this. He called them, Bani Salama, Diyarakum, Tuktab Atharukum, remain in the house that you all are living in. Don't relocate. Stay there. Cling onto the same house of yours. Don't move from there. Every step you will take to the masjid walking, you will be rewarded for it. One hadith of Rasulullah, when a person comes walking to the masjid, for every one step you take, one guna is forgiven, and the other step you raise, then one daraja of yours is increasing in the akhirat. So can you imagine how much of neki, how much of sawab they were getting? Bani Salama, they remained, they did not relocate. And they said, we didn't have the desire then to relocate. Because of this fazilat that we heard, that Rasulullah mentioned, that this is what you will get. Khaybar is taking place. Khaybar was an area where the Yahud were residing after they were taken out of Madina Munawwara. And the Sahaba laid a siege around them. It's a very lengthy incident. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, first day tried desperately. He was not successful. The next day, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu tried. He was not successful. Finally, Rasulullah says, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow I will give the flag and I will make Amir of the Muslim army such a person on whose hands Allah is going to give victory. يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And what is his quality? رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. He's such a man who loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So of course the first thing, Allah will give victory. It's very important. Everybody desires that. The second thing, he loves Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the Sahaba love Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the third thing, وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love him. We all love Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person doesn't love Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'adallah, he's got no iman. But how do we know Allah loves us? Here is what I'm saying. I will give the flag to that man who loves Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah and Rasul also in turn love him. فَبَاتَ النَّاسِ يَدُوكُونَ لَيْلَتَهُمْ. Sahaba say that every Sahabi slept that night with this desire at heart, that I must be given the flag tomorrow. Not for any worldly motive. Because of this fazilat, that he loves Allah and his Rasul, and Allah and his Rasul love him. What an honor. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab says, مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ قَتُّ. I never in my life desired to be Amir anytime. But he's responsible of Amir is something very serious. He said, I never had the desire to be Amir. I would always like be under some person. Beside that particular night. Because of this virtue, that Allah and His Rasul love him also. So the next day, you see, then Umar ibn Khattab also says, that I also craned myself a bit. To look about outstanding, that perhaps Rasul will see me and call me. Nabi Kareem said, Aina Ali? Where is Ali? Sahaba say he's not well. His eye was very sore. But call him. Sayyidina Ali is called. He's brought. Nabi Kareem asked him, what is happening? He said, my eye is very sore. He takes his lu'abi mubarak, his mubarak saliva. He rubs it in the eye of Ali and he reads some dua. Immediately he is cured. Sayyidina Ali says, wallahi, I never had a pain with that eye any time in my life after that. In fact, I could see better with that eye than the other eye. So again, see the Sahaba, the hirs they had. That how I could gain akhirat, how I could be more beloved to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even on that particular time and occasion, Sahaba radiallahu anhu wished to get this flag. And then Nabi Karim gives the flag to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and the tafsir is that Nabi Karim tell him by Ali, go proceed. And wala taltafit, don't turn back. Don't turn back. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu goes out, takes a few steps. And from where he was standing, he did not physically turn his body. Because Rasulullah said, وَلَا تَلْتَفِتْ. Some ulama explained that the meaning of Rasulullah, the mansha was, that don't come back until you're victorious. Don't come back home until you're victorious. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu took the words of Rasulullah in the haqiqi meaning, the actual meaning. Not the figurative meaning, the genuine meaning, that don't turn back, remain. So where he was, facing that way, he shouts out, Ya Rasulullah, ala ma nuqatil. Now outwardly, listen very carefully before you misconstrue something, it would be, where's the mannerism, where's the etiquette? You're calling from there. But al-amru fawqa al-adab. This is also an usul. When somebody senior commands you, then you listen to that command. There you don't show adab. If your ustad tells you, sit here, you go to sit. One is that the respect you have, how can I sit next to you, with my ustad, or on the same sofa, or the same chair? But the ustad commands you, al-amru fawqa al-adab. Nabi Akhirim said, command you, wala taltafit, don't turn back. So then he asked from there, and Nabi Akhirim said, oh Ali, unfud ala rislik. Go easily. Don't just kill the enemy. Give them da'wat first. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعَمِ. One man getting hidayat through your inviting him is better for you than, one riwayat, owning red camels, the most priceless possession of the time. Is better for you than owning precious camels is that one man gets hidayat from you. And the other riwayat says, مِمَّا طَلَعْتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. That it is better than whatever the sun has risen on, or the better than the entire world and whatever it contains. This is the fazilat. Sayyidina Ali went, and of course, they gained victory. Point here again, that look at the hirs they had. Akhirat, akhirat, akhirat. They wanted to do every khair and refrain from every shar. When khamar, wine became haram, there were a few stages. It didn't just become haram, just instantly one ayat came down, and now Sahaba to stop drinking wine. Because remember, in the time of Jahiliyyah, before Islam, people loved drinking alcohol and wine. If you find, you read the poetry, the Arabic poetry of Jahiliyyah, you see the love they had, the ishq they had for wine. In fact, it's mentioned in some kitabs. Mawla Salimullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned in one of his commentaries, Mishkat Sharif, that a person who was the caretaker of the Kaaba at that time, the custodian of the Kaaba, he was prepared to surrender the key of the Kaaba in lieu of one bottle of wine. Even the little babies were given some droplets of wine. How we make tahniq for our children? They made their tahniq by giving those children drops of wine. So from childhood they had that love for the bottle, love for wine. But finally, when the hukam came, but now it is completely haram. They say the gullies of Medina was flowing with wine because nobody said, okay, one more, last one. They threw their barrels of wine away to such an extent, if that person had that wine in his mouth and is about to drink it, he did not let it go down his throat even. Why? It is now shar. It is now evil. It is haram. Ittaqillah haythu ma kunta. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu says, I heard Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentioning one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this, inshallah, we must also make amal on this. He says, whoever reads, performs janaza salah of any janaza, then the reward is qiratun. Qirat. Qirat is sawab equivalent to Mount Uhud. Can you imagine? One janazah that we read, and we attend the janazah, and we perform the janazah salah, then you are getting the sawab, so much of reward, equivalent to Mount Uhud. And if you follow the janazah, and you go to the qabristan, hatta tudfan, until it is buried, then falahu qiratan. You get two qirats. Sawab equivalent to twice the mountain of Uhud. Like two mountains of Uhud sawab you're getting. Abdullah bin Abbas, or Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Huraira, think properly before you're giving this hadith. You heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, definitely, most certainly I heard this from Rasulullah. Abdullah bin Umar for some reason did not hear it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi didn't hear every hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he's sitting with some sahaba, he gives the virtue. They pass it on to others. So to verify it, he sends somebody to say that Aisha radiallahu anha, Ma Aisha Siddiqa. She'll know well. Who verifies it? She says, yes. Rasul said, if you join the janazah, and if you read the janazah namaz, you get one qirat. And if you go to the qabristan, falahu qiratan. Then you get two qirats. Oh, can you imagine Abdullah bin Umar? He said, come. فَوَّتْنَا مِنَ الْقَرَارِيتِ How many qirats we missed in our life? How many qirats we missed in our life? Probably he didn't go to the qabristan every janazah. He was there for the janazah. He didn't realize that there's another reward like this, qirat to go to the qabristan as well. So he said, so many qirats, so much of blessing we missed in our lives. By how many janazahs we even attend? And how many times we go to the qabristan? Imagine our condition. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq to make amal. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, just end here. Sayyidina Aisha radiyallahu anha, when she made hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final hajj with Rasulullah made, he took his wives also with. So, it's a very lengthy incident in the books of Sira and Fiqh, etc. Again, just the important point that I'm just going to illustrate is, and that Sahaba were told to make Umrah, then come out of that Ihram, and then make Hajj Tamattu, and make another Ihram for Hajj. Or those who made Qiran with one Ihram to make the Umrah, and the same Ihram they'll make the Hajj. So when they came there, so all of them making the performing the Umrah, it so happened that Ma'isha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she had her haiz, her monthly, and obviously she was not parked now. She couldn't go. After that, Hajj finished, she made a Hajj, everything, she was parked, she made a Hajj. And as he came back now, after Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, everything, Hajj finished, Nabi Akareem some goes, he sees it, and Aisha and crying. Aisha, what happened? He says, all your other wives came with us, and all the rest of the Sahaba, they're so fortunate. They got sawab of Hajj and Umrah. I only got Hajj sawab. I missed my Umrah because I was not parked. It causes such pain. Nabi Kareem himself, don't worry. Call your brother Abdul Rahman. She was parked now. Go to Tan'im, where your Ihram, make your niyat, and then you make an Umrah. And therefore Tan'im is also known as Masjid Aisha. When you go there, you ask the taxi, Masjid Aisha? For this reason. And when we go for Umrah, then if you want to make another Umrah, then you go there, you make Ihram, you make Niyat, and then you come back to Makkah. Look at this. Because of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, you and I also benefiting. But look at the hirs she had. And what nadama that I missed out. And others are going to get double reward. Hajj and Umrah. And of course, she made her Umrah and she also got the sawab. Like this, there are so many other examples, inshallah, as we continue, we will mention these beautiful examples. What is the lesson, sabak for us? That we should have that hirs within us. That every neki, I must try and get it. Don't let the blessings and rewards just go past. Fazail amal, when we read, then what intention? That I must bring this into my life. And I must pass it on to others. To my family, to my children, to my friends, you in the business, as long as you pass it on correctly, understand it correctly and properly, you're going traveling somewhere, it is time for Salatul Duha, then perform your Salatul Duha and give others also the reward for it. It is time for Tahajjud Salat. Recite your Tahajjud Salat and give others also a targheeb to perform it. Inshallah, then you also get reward. Just one more last incident to explain this, that if you do something and you initiate a good action and others follow, then you will get reward for all those who are doing it, and their reward will not be decreased. In other words, if Allah is giving them 1,000 sawab for whatever action they are doing, after following you, you'll also get 1,000 sawab, and the 1,000 sawab is not going to be divided between you and them. They'll get their full share, plus you'll be getting the full share of their reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting with sahaba. And a person comes, and Nabi Akrim sees that this person is a very poor person. He's distressed. Nabi Akrim gives the sahaba targhib. He gives him targhib that whatever you have, a little bit of mealies, you bring it. You got some dates, you bring it. You got some rice, you bring it. He gives sahaba some targhib. Immediately. One sahabi goes and he brings a whole bag full of some coins. Hadith says, كَادَتْ يَدُهُ تَعْجِزْ بَلْ قَدْ عَجِزَتْ. It was so heavy, it was almost as though he couldn't hold and carry the bag. In fact, he could not carry the bag. Within minutes, sahaba saw him bringing something. He brought whatever he brought. The others started bringing also. Within minutes, there were two heaps of provisions, food, clothing, etc. Nabi Kareem became very, very happy. And he said then, مَنْ سُنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَهَا لَا يَنْقُسُ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شِيَعًا. Whoever initiates one good deed, that good deed which is authorized by Sharia, which Sharia says, yes, it is a good deed. So the person does the good deed, others follow suit, they see him doing it, they also start doing it, then he will get their reward as well, and nothing will diminish from their reward. Each one will get maximum reward. So as far as khair is concerned, we mentioned last week, we should try and do every khair that is possible, and also do not procrastinate in doing khair. Because shaitan will come and put some obstacle. The moment some irada comes, let me do some khair, then immediately do it. For khair, we should not procrastinate. We should try and bring it. Khair mein jaldi karna chahiye. Do khair immediately. And then inshallah we will see the benefit. And shar, the moment there is something evil, shariat is made haram, then we refrain from that evil. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq, inshallah, to make amal. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We lost our very fond, great musalli from masjid. Regular, always, masjid. And he also had this hirs in him about namaz, for his namaz, always. We find him always standing right next to us, always in the front here. Our chota bhai Qadir, Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, Allah grant his family sabr jameel, and give him the highest of stages of Jannah. So this is also a lesson for us, always first off. Despite his sickness and weakness, he would make sure, and he'll ask you, I'm doing this right? Is it okay if I do this? He always had that concern. May Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat and give him the highest of stages in the akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.